Well, this morning we're going to carry on with our series called Life Works with Jesus, which is really, I hope it's coming across as a sort of a look into discipleship, really, from the perspective of just like, this is the light, this is how life is, and this is what life's like, and then how does it, what is it like to walk with Jesus? If we're followers of Jesus, if we're disciples of Jesus, because Jesus said, didn't he, to his disciples, go and make disciples. Yeah? So that's what we're called to be, as disciples, followers of Christ. And so we're really looking at just sort of how can life work with Jesus in various different aspects of life. And today we're going to look at other people, how our life works with Jesus with other people. Okay. So I'll explain more about that in a minute. I'm now getting cold. Can I close this window? I'm a bit of a southern softy. There we go. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you now and humble ourselves again and just ask that you would speak to us through your word, you'd speak to us by your Holy Spirit, because our desire in our heart is to be followers of Jesus and disciples of Christ, knowing that our life works better, our life has more meaning, has more purpose, is more whole, is as it should be when we are following as disciples of Christ. So I pray, just come speak to us now and challenge us and teach us and lead us in your ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I've titled this, Life Works with Jesus, when we're talking about other people. Other people. Yeah. Meaning, really what I'm talking about is, how does life work in relationship to people around you? Day-to-day life. Okay. And I will put... Here's my starting point. I would probably say that life would work a lot better for me if everybody else was like me. Yeah? And what that means for you is that your life would work a lot better for you, no doubt, than if everybody else was like you. Yeah? We all agree with that? So we can kind of, well, apart from Sheila, Sheila's not that happy with herself. Okay, fair enough. So let's just throw Jesus out the window for a minute and just think, if everybody was just like me, I don't need Jesus, because everybody was like me, I wouldn't need to worry because everybody was like me and everything's fine. Yes. There'd be no arguments. There'd be no differences. There'd be no irritations. Any annoying habits that I have wouldn't really matter, because you have the same ones and we'd be all fine with that. Maybe. But the problem is, isn't it, that not everybody is like you and not everybody is like me, and therefore... life can be a little bit tricky sometimes, can't it? Yeah? Sometimes. I mean, not all the time, you know, but sometimes more than others. But in one way or another, when we are with other people, we will all, at some point in our lives, we'll face a little bit of a challenge. And it's always been the same. You go right back to the beginning, and you've got Cain and Abel. Remember them? Basically, fruit, veg, or meat, you know? That was the difference, you know. One brought an offering of fruit and veg, and the other brought an offering of meat. And you know, there was a difference of opinion. Not everybody is into fruit and veg, and not everyone's into meat. And that kicked off. Jacob and Esau, indoors or outdoors. That was, you know, there were two different peas in the pod there. Moses and Pharaoh, they didn't really see eye to eye. Paul and Barnabas. Not just in the Old Testament, the New Testament, you know, but these are Christians, Paul and Barnabas. They didn't quite see eye to eye, you know, and we could keep going on. And it's interesting that if you read the New Testament, there are over 50 statements where it says, do this to one another. Love one another. You know, be hospitable to one another. So it's almost like the writers of the New Testament, they know that actually one another, you other people, are sometimes a little bit tricky. So I'm going to have to try hard to love you other people. And I'm going to have to make an effort to be hospitable to you other people. Yeah, because the Bible kind of is being honest with us. So how does life work with other people? That's what we're looking at today as we're followers of Christ. See, Jesus calls us to love one another as well as God. And that's easier for some people with some people than it is with other people. But I want to just maybe scratch a little bit below the surface of that statement today and find ways of how we can love God more as we love and know one another more. So we're going to start we'll do some hard work here. I'm going to take for a moment, just think about some other people, people other than yourself, that you find maybe a little bit difficult or a bit irritating or a bit sort of hard work. Now, I don't want you to speak their names out, okay? Keep the names in your head because it's quite likely if some of them are in this room. You may even be in the same family as them. But the thing is, these are people we dearly love a lot of the time and we're very committed to, but nevertheless, they can be sometimes quite annoying. So that's how it is, because people are different to you. So I want to think about people who have different points of view to you. Okay, it might be political points of view. You know, not going to mention any names. They may have theological differences to you. Okay, you're allowed to dig people very quietly in the ribs if you want to. But people have different lifestyles. Some people, you know, we went and visited a friend in Wales last Sunday, as you do. And, you know, you go out into the country and you realize that people in the country have a different way of life to the people in the city. And things just work differently. Or there are some people that are more focused on work and some people more focused on leisure. There are introverts, there are extroverts. People have different interests, sport. Music, jazz, classical. Some people are into animals. Some people aren't. You know, there are different approaches people have to things like, you know, you could have a different approach to parenting. That's sometimes quite tricky, isn't it? Where you take your children to another family and you realize that they have a completely different way of parenting. And you think, okay, how's this going to work? You know, and then you feel as though your children have come out polluted or something. You know, I mean, this is quite difficult sometimes. You know, we have different approaches to the things to our concept of time. Here's another one. Some people are early, some people are kind of on time, some people are late, and for them it's just how it is, you know? Or we just simply have irritating habits, you know, ways of saying things, ways of doing things that are just different. Now, I want you to try and get some of those people in your mind, okay? And those differences. Now, I'm not talking about differences that are necessarily sin. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not talking about things that are really wrong, but I'm just talking about differences. You know, Keith's got a purple shirt on, and I haven't. It's different. You know, I don't know whether I'd wear that shirt. He probably wouldn't wear this shirt, but that's the difference. It's not sin. It's just the way it is, you know? Now, so we've got these other people in mind. I want you just to just give me some, kind of the emotions or the feelings. Give me a few, just one word things that you feel when you're around those kind of people. They're kind of frustrated. Right, okay. Frustrated is one thing. Any other thoughts? Intimidated, okay, yeah. Any other? Wary of what you say, yeah. Sometimes treading on eggshells, that can, yeah, yeah. Any other things? Gosh. Impeded, yes, yeah. Any other? Prayerful, yes. Like, oh Lord, help me with this one. Yep, yep, been there. Yeah. I mean, for me, I mean, I when I get around people that I can sometimes, this happened at the weekend actually, and I know I can be very irritating like this. We went to Wales and we just found this Airbnb place and this cottage. And we went there to see a friend. We only had the day, Monday. But I was kind of suddenly got into holiday mode. Normally it takes me about a week to get into holiday mode, but for some reason I just kind of got into holiday mode and I was kind of thinking, oh, forgot we had to leave this place. But I sometimes get really frustrated with people, some of you said frustrated, when people just want to think about the next thing. They're not actually living in this thing. So I'm just kind of, I'm enjoying the cottage, you know. And I'm not saying there's a huge hurry to get out, but I get frustrated sometimes with people who just want to know what we're doing next. And I'm thinking, I just want to know. It's living in this now. When I'm playing music, I feel very constricted. You said impeded, Shell. I feel when people aren't playing the music the way I think it should go, okay, if the groove is not happening the way I think it should be happening, or if that phrase isn't being played, then I find quite, but they're very good musicians that I'm working with sometimes. I'm feeling a bit impeded, a bit constricted. There's lots of things I can tell you that niggle me, but anyway, that we could go on. And at the end of the day, you start to think to yourself, if only people could be more like me. Yeah. If only people could just see things my way, you know, and just chill out when I'm chilling out, and just let's get the priorities right when I get the priorities right, then everything else will be fine, because really at the end of the day, it's everybody, all the other people's problem, isn't it? I'm fine. Everybody else, they're the problem. Now, or maybe, and then we because we put our Christian sort of lens on things, we start to say, if everybody else actually, if you lot were all more like Jesus, then my life would be easier. Yeah? If you were actually more Christian, because of course I'm quite holy, if you were more like Jesus, then actually things would be okay. Because actually Jesus, he doesn't get on my nerves. He doesn't cause me grief, because he accepts me as I am. Yeah? And he's perfect, so he doesn't get anything wrong, so he's not irritating. Right? So if Keith was more like Jesus, then I wouldn't ever find him irritating. I'm using Keith as an example because he's got a purple shirt on today. But we're good friends, so. But I'm sure he finds me very irritating sometimes as well. But anyway, I digress. But you know, if we were more, everyone else was more like Jesus, then I would be okay. And I just want you to stop and just take a, have you ever thought like that? But if you have, just take a moment and stop and think about that. Consider for a moment how irritating Jesus is. All right?
You what?
That's woken you up. Consider how irritating for his disciples Jesus would have been. All right? This is the guy when, they didn't have mobile phones back then, but imagine he got a call on the mobile. You know, Jairus, the synagogue leader. You know, the ruler of the synagogue. His daughter is very sick. Can you come and heal him? It's almost like a 999 call, yeah? So what if you're an ambulance with Jesus? Imagine if Jesus was an ambulance driver. This would be brilliant. You know, so okay. So what do you do? Put the blue lights on and floor it to Jairus' house, because we need to get to Jairus' house because the daughter's sick, right? You'd think priorities. Let's get moving. What does Jesus do? He stops because somebody bumped into him in the crowd. Yeah? And some power has left him. And you're thinking, no, this is nonsense. We've got to get over here. Time. Priorities. Get a move on. This is an emergency. This is not how we do things. This is an important person's daughter is sick, and Jesus is hanging around talking to some lady who's talking about something about it, and we're not even listening. Yeah? Jesus can be quite irritating, can't he? This is the guy, Jesus, who, when he was preaching in parables, and oftentimes we think Jesus is preaching parables to make it easier for us, but this is what Jesus said about the parables. He said, I'm preaching parables because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not understand. What? I mean, I don't even understand that in itself. You know, that's just wrong, isn't it? You know, if you came to church every Sunday to hear the preacher because he said things that you really didn't understand, you would think, what's he going on about? This is really irritating. Making things deliberately unintelligible? It must be crazy. This is nuts. You're just quite irritating, quite strange. This is the guy who said, could you not keep watch and pray for just 1 hour? And I think my reply would be, no, it's the middle of the night. You know? I don't know if you've ever tried that, but I mean, sometimes Louise and I pray before we go to sleep, and I know, but at least one of us hasn't quite heard the amen, you know, by the end of, you know, I mean, at the end of that, I mean, this is not even an hour, this is just minutes, you know, it's, and Jesus, come on, let's get real. Get real. I mean, I've opened John chapter 4, I mean, you can look, it's a great story to see how irritating Jesus is. I mean, if you want to turn there, you can. But you know that story when Jesus, he had to go from to get to Galilee. But he said he had to go through Samaria. Well, that's like sort of saying, let's go through the minefield over there, you know, when we could easily walk around it, you know, because Samaria was just no-go territory, really, for Jews. But he decides to take that shortcut. Now that's a little bit, you know, that's a bit odd. Why would you do that? And you're thinking, why do I want to hang around with Jesus like this? And you have to walk amongst all these unclean and despised Samaritans, and they don't like us, and we don't like them. And we end up having to go and buy some food. This is the disciples. They have to go and buy some food. So that means going into a Samaritan shop and sort of dealing with Samaritans. This is not good. And then Jesus ends up chatting with a Samaritan woman, of all people. And the disciples actually say, this is how irritating Jesus was, because the disciples said to Jesus, what does he want with her? Why is he talking to her? So, what's going on here? And then to add frustration to annoyance, he says, they finally get this food and they come to him and they say, come, take something to eat. And he says, I have a food you know nothing of. Because when they said, take something to eat, what they really meant was that we're hungry, and if you don't start eating, we can't start eating, so we just need to get on with this, because this is what we want to do. And then we say, come and take some food, Jesus, because we want to eat. And he says, no, I've got some other food to eat. I don't really care about the Father's will at this moment in time. I've got a really empty stomach. I'm even thinking of this now, and I can smell the food. You see, Jesus can be really annoying. Can't he? Let's be honest. I mean, I'd say that in all reverence, okay? You know, I'm not. I'm saying this in a good way. Because at the end of the day, actually, Jesus is just like everybody else. He's not like me, and he's not like you. So actually, you're irritating, but so is Jesus to me. You know, so I mean, Jesus is very different to me. You're different to me. It's a shocking revelation. Jesus is different to me. So how does life work when even Jesus is different to me? Now, I've used the word other a lot today. There are these other people. The other people that are the problem. But the problem is also that Jesus is other. Very other. Very, very, very other. Other people and Jesus have something in common. They're different to me. So, this otherness, I want to put it in another term. It's another way of describing holiness. Sometimes we talk about holiness and we think about it as this kind of like this purity or this kind of super cleanness that we can't really attain to. And there's something about that in holiness. But holiness, a big component of holiness is being other than, being different, being set apart. And so when we describe God as holy, you know, we sing that, don't we? God is holy, 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 from this morning. We're saying that God is other. We're describing his otherness. We're speaking of God's otherness. He's, and the thing about God is he's other in everything. He's completely beyond us in every way. He's different and beyond us in absolutely everything we know. We know a few things. But, you know, I mean, if I say 2 plus 2, John is very good at maths. He can say 2 plus 1 is 3, and 2 plus 2 is 4. Good, he knows stuff. Okay, phew. So John knows stuff. Sorry to pick you out there, John. It's my day off. Why am I doing maths? You know? But God knows so much more. In fact, you can't even begin to grasp how much he knows more than we know. Yeah? We have a bit of power. You know, when I get on my bike, I'm quite pleased with myself that I can generate a fair bit of power and I can get up a hill reasonably quickly because I've put some effort in and my legs are reasonably strong. So there's a little bit of power. But that's just, God is so much, there's infinitely more. He's other. You know, and all of us have a little bit of goodness in us, believe it or not. You know, there's, but actually God's goodness is infinitely more. He's infinitely other. And as we discover more of Jesus and his holiness, his otherness, it challenges us and it stretches us and pulls us in those directions. Because that's the good thing about Jesus' otherness, is it actually draws us into it rather than pushes us away. And he's other to us in every direction. And he says in the scriptures, be holy, because I am holy. There's the call to God's people. Let's put that another way. Be other like I am other. So in our ethical decisions, in our relationship values, in our use of words, in our concept of time, in every single way, Jesus says, be other like I am other. Be holy like I am holy. He's stretching us in every direction to be more like him. And that's who we're called to be. Be holy. Because I am holy, says the Lord. Be other, because I am other. So, back to the other people. Now you're thinking, let's get this connection here. Other people. Those other people that you find a little bit difficult. Those people that you brought to mind earlier. You might even have some names in your head still. How does life with Jesus work with these other people? Well, know this, that each one of those people was created by God. And actually it was God who defined how they are going to be. It's God who defined what they're going to be like. It's God who, I'm coming back to Keith's shirt, it's God who defined that Keith likes purple shirts, you know? Either that or Margaret likes purple shirts, so she bought it for him, whatever it is. But either way, it was God who did that. Yeah? It's God who wires us up and makes us who we are. Now, there's lots of things where sin changes things, but the bottom line is God has made us every person who they are. And in imperfect, and get this, you have to hear this correctly, in imperfect ways, every person in the world, every person in the world, in an imperfect way, reflects his image and his character in some way. Now, I'm not saying that everything that is different to you or I in another person is godly. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is there is something in everyone's otherness that speaks to us that God is also very other, very, very other. And so it speaks to us of God's holiness. And so in other people's differences, we're able to glimpse. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, doesn't it, say we glimpse dimly, sort of in a mirror dimly. There's something as we come face to face with another person, another human being, and they're different to us, where we're actually seeing a bit of God, very dimly, but we see something, it's like a holy mystery. We're on holy ground, did we realize that? As we're standing and we're with one another because we're created in God's image, and particularly those differences challenge us because they are other to us. A holy encounter. And so, the next time you meet a person, and they're taking a little bit longer to do something than you would do, remember Jesus, who, when he was off to see Jairus, just took a little bit of time. Or in fact, when Lazarus, Lazarus is sick, what does Jesus do? Hangs around for a couple of days. Imagine that. Pastor, can you come pray for me? Yeah, give us a couple of days and I'll be over. You know, I might be dead by then. Well, yeah. But the next time someone's taking a little bit longer, I'm not saying what they're doing is necessarily the right thing, but I'm just saying let it speak to you of the otherness of God, that there are other priorities and there are other things that Jesus has. Next time someone's speaking, how many times have you met somebody and they're speaking, you think, I have no idea what you're talking about? Either because you're deaf or because you just don't understand what they're talking about. I encounter people like that reasonably regularly. But remember Jesus who spoke in parables. Remember, the next time somebody goes and does something completely reckless and risky, and you're shaking your head and tutting, thinking, oh, I wouldn't do that. Remember Jesus, who calls Peter out on the water. I'm not saying that what they're doing, the risky thing, is necessarily the right thing, but I'm just saying let it challenge us that God is completely other, and actually life isn't supposed to be safe, necessarily, when we're walking with Jesus. And the next time you meet somebody who hangs around with the wrong kind of people and you start shaking your head and you're thinking, well, if they had just lived properly and lived with the right people, they wouldn't be in this situation. Yeah, well, maybe. But also remember Jesus who actually made a beeline for those kind of people. And let that otherness speak of Jesus' otherness, greater otherness. And I think if we do that, we'll have a deeper appreciation of other people's value, the value of their life. Because that means that every person can speak to me something of Christ. I think it was Mother Teresa, I was listening to, I forgot to tell you about this later, but I was speaking to a friend, and she's just done a podcast. I think I told you about some of you about it. And she says in the podcast that Mother Teresa, when she was asked, I probably won't say this quite right, but she, rather than go and bring Jesus to people, which you would imagine what a person like Mother Teresa does, she would go to people to see Jesus in them. And my friend was saying, you know, she used to work in a food bank, and when she was there, she went and went and went because she knew that she started to see Jesus in the most other people, the most different people. So it gives us an appreciation of the value of human life, doesn't it, if we start to see things like this. And then it causes us, and this is the final thing, is this is where church is brilliant. Because what church does is it says, gather together with a whole load of other people. Yes, they're Christians, but they are different to you. And if you're committed to them, you're stuck with them. And that's why I believe in church membership, by the way. I think that's why church membership is good, because it means that even if Emma's really irritating, we're stuck together in the same church, and we're going to have to work it out. Because actually, Emma's irritating things actually do good stuff for me, because it sharpens me and it challenges me. And actually, what I think are irritating things may be perfectly fine. But it's just me that needs to change. Again, you know, my friends in the Catholic community over in Chertsey, I listened to their leader, Damien. He said, when I started this community, I thought I was really good. I thought I could get on with everybody. And then I realized that not everybody thought the same thing. You know, and then through being with other people, God increased his holiness and his otherness, because there, what were irritations, started to rub off on him in a way that was in a good way. I'm not saying I find Emma irritating, by the way. I'm just picking on people over here. So church is brilliant for increasing our holiness if we commit ourselves to one another and say, okay, I'm going to live with you guys. And you are different, all of you. Different. I'm glad about that. I'm glad that we're not all wearing the same clothes and the same colours and the same singing the same songs. But we are one in Christ, but we're all different components. And God uses church to change us more into what? Into his likeness, yeah. So, let us praise God for other people. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for other people. We thank you for the world is full of other people, very different to me and very different to all of us. And I want to pray today that in their otherness and their difference, you would speak to us of your surpassing otherness, your complete and ultimate different otherness. That we're not like you, but we want to be like you. And I pray as we encounter other people, let it stretch and pull us towards you, Jesus, that we may grow in your likeness and reflect your image to the world around us. And so I pray, let this be good news to us, that we're being changed and transformed as we meet other people, but through Jesus we can know you more and live in your fullness and be the people you would have us be. So I pray your blessing on us as a church, and I pray your blessing on us as we minister to different people around us and the world around us. Let us grow all together in Christ into the head of the church, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.